Hey there, it's Shannon Ballard. When you listen to Southern Mysteries, you're supporting an independent podcast that's made possible by the support of patrons who help me continue to share these stories like you'll hear today. Southern Mysteries is staffed by one person, by me. I cover it all, the research of every story, writing the episode, producing it. Takes a lot of time, a lot of resources, and that is why I ask you to help support Southern Mysteries, because I want to continue to be able to share these stories that I think are so important, whether it's historical true crime that's never been solved, or a chapter in history that you just didn't learn much about, if anything at all, when you're in school. If you're passionate about history and historical true crime, you can join me in continuing to tell these stories when you join me on Patreon. You can hear ad-free episodes there, and you'll also get to hear the first three seasons of Southern Mysteries. And I always remind people, the show sounded so different back then, but it's a part of the history of this show. It's definitely changed a lot since we launched back in 2017. And when you join me on Patreon, you can also join at a level where you have access to a lot of bonus content, the archives of patron-exclusive podcasts through the years, and the new patron-exclusive monthly podcast, Audacious, Tales of Scandalous and Shocking Crimes in American History. You can learn all about supporting. There are two tiers available to join in at the level that works for you, and it's easy to opt in and out. I always remind people of that because our financial situations change all the time. You can dive in yourself, check it out, and if you join today, you can start listening right away and hear episodes you haven't heard before. Check it out and join at patreon.com/southernmysteries. August 1974 was a month of transition for the United States. On August 8th, President Richard Nixon announced he would resign his office, and the following day, Gerald Ford was sworn in as the 38th President of the United States. The Watergate scandal, the downfall of Nixon, it was the talk of the country that summer. But in Opelika, the county seat of Lee County, Alabama, folks who had been talking about the presidency and a local election that was coming up soon found themselves trying to help authorities solve a mystery when 67-year-old Ruth Dorsey disappeared. Her disappearance perplexed friends, family, and law enforcement. Investigators from the Lee County Sheriff's Department supported authorities from Opelika and Auburn Police in what would become one of the most extensive searches to date in the east central part of the state. Half a century has passed, and Ruth's disappearance is still one of Alabama's most baffling mysteries. Welcome to Southern Mysteries, exploring the history and mysteries of the American South. I'm your host, Shannon Ballard. This is the story of the mysterious vanishing of Ruth Dorsey. Opelika, Alabama is the sister city of Auburn, the home of Auburn University. 30,000 people call Opelika home. It's maintained small-town charm and quality of life, even as Lee County became the eighth largest county by population in Alabama. In 1896, Opelika became one of 10 experimental sites. Welcome to Southern Mysteries, exploring the history and mysteries of the American South. I'm your host, Shannon Ballard. This is the story of the mysterious vanishing of Ruth Dorsey. Opelika, Alabama is the sister city of Auburn, the home of Auburn University. 30,000 people call Opelika home. It's maintained small-town charm and quality of life, even as Lee County became the eighth largest county by population in Alabama. In 1896, Opelika became one of 10 experimental sites. Welcome to Southern Mysteries, exploring the history and mysteries of the American South. I'm your host, Shannon Ballard. This is the story of the mysterious vanishing of Ruth Dorsey. Opelika, Alabama is the sister city of Auburn, the home of Auburn University. 30,000 people call Opelika home. It's maintained small-town charm and quality of life, even as Lee County became the eighth largest county by population in Alabama. In 1896, Opelika became one of 10 experimental sites for the Postal Service's free delivery program in rural communities. By 1900, local investors, including prominent businessman and farmer Isham Dorsey, established the Opelika Cotton Mill. It operated until the end of the 20th century. It's now best known as one of the filming locations for the 1979 movie Norma Rae. Isham Dorsey was known in Opelika as Mr. Ike. The Dorsey family roots run deep in Lee County. In the 1920s, they owned Dorsey's Ford and Dorsey's Tires in downtown Opelika. When Mr. Dorsey died in 1960, his obituary made mention of his accomplishments in agriculture, which had led to Dorsey becoming one of the most accomplished farmers in the state. Mr. Ike had four sons, including Evans Smith Dorsey, whose friends just called him Pete. In 1927, Pete met Ruth Murfree. Months earlier, Ruth had graduated from college in Ashland, Virginia, and made the move to Opelika to start a full-time teaching career. She taught French and math at Opelika's Henry Clift High School. Pete Dorsey was attracted to Ruth's strong, independent nature, and they would marry in June 1928. The Dorseys never had children of their own. As their nieces and nephews would later say, Pete and Ruth were like a second set of parents to them. They treated them as if they were their own kids. During World War II, the Dorseys were separated during Pete's service. When he returned home, he settled into life with Ruth as a proud Lee County cattleman. He and Ruth loved living on their 350-acre farm, with the nearest neighbor being about a mile away. They planned to live out a long life on that farm, grow old together. But that dream did not come true. Pete Dorsey became ill in the early summer of 1965, and weeks later, on June 22nd, he died at their home. Following Pete's death, Ruth took a job at the First National Bank in Opelika. She taught Sunday school at her church and began playing piano and organ for Hopewell Methodist Church services. Her family worried about her living so far out in the country on her own, but Ruth was fiercely independent and said she never felt unsafe out in the country. She had her dogs to keep her company. Everyone who knew Ruth loved her. She was kind, even kept dog food and treats in her car so she could look out for and feed stray dogs she would see out in the country. She felt at home on that farm. She felt safe. But something or someone took that away from Ruth Dorsey. On Saturday, August 17th, 1974, Ruth woke up early to wash clothes. She made a vet appointment for one of her dogs for the following Monday and made a banana pudding, which she delivered to a neighbor around 10 a.m. After lunch, she practiced piano and studied her Sunday school lesson she would deliver the next morning at Hopewell United Methodist. She considered attending a wedding in Troy that night, but ended up staying at home because she didn't want to drive home late or leave her three dogs. She had planned to stay home all day, but around 4:30 that afternoon, Ruth Dorsey was seen pulling up to the Spring Villa grocery and gas station. She bought $7.93 worth of gas for her 1972 Ford Galaxy. She chatted with the attendant and mentioned she had been shelling peas when a relative called. She said she needed the gas to go pick up one of her kin. At about 5:30, a neighbor saw Ruth's Galaxy make the wide turn into the driveway leading up to her farmhouse. She saw Ruth wave as she made the turn down the long and twisting driveway leading to the house that was situated far back off the road, off Lee County Highway 32 and State Highway 169. On Sunday, August 18th, members of Ruth's church had expected her to be at the church to play piano for the last day of revival services, and of course expected her to be there to teach her Sunday school class. Ruth Dorsey was the kind of woman who was methodical, and she kept her commitments, which is why her friends at church became very concerned when she didn't show up. The superintendent of Sunday school, Leon Allen, along with one of Ruth's neighbors, drove out to the farm where they found the front door of the Dorsey farmhouse wide open and the side door was unlocked. There was no sign of Ruth in or around the house, and her car was gone. Roy Lowe, who managed Ruth's farm, arrived to feed the cattle and met with the men from the church, and they all agreed something was off. They had found Ruth's dogs cowering in the bathroom, acting as though someone or something had traumatized them. Ruth's nephew, Walter Dorsey, said one of those dogs, Spoogey, would eat you alive if you tried to come in while Ruth was there. The fact that this dog was found cowering in fear in the bathroom, to him, that was a clear sign that something had gone wrong. Ruth would never do anything to hurt any animal, much less one of her dogs. The Lee County Sheriff's Department was contacted and arrived to survey the scene and evaluate the situation. Nothing was disturbed inside Ruth's house, but things didn't make sense to Ruth's family. Her linens were hanging on the clothesline outside, which was odd because she never left the clothes out overnight. Ruth's Bible was open on the dining room table, and when they checked Ruth's bedroom, it appeared no one had slept in the bed. Ruth's family explained to authorities that the Bible still being open on the table struck them as odd. If she had gone to bed and prepared to get up the next morning for Sunday school, she had a habit of putting everything she planned to take with her to church next to her purse. That meant the Bible and her lesson plans would have been next to the purse and ready to grab when she headed out the door. The family also said the side door being unlocked was highly unusual and not something Ruth Dorsey would do. There was no sign Ruth had eaten an evening meal and no sign that her three dogs had been fed their special morning meal. Ruth made them hot oatmeal every morning. Ruth kept two guns in the house, a pistol she kept in her sewing basket, and a rifle she stored in a cedar chest. They were right where Ruth always left them. And her valuables, silver, and a coin collection that were out in plain sight had not been disturbed. While authorities were at the Dorsey farm, there was a break in the case. Some of Ruth's family members had been driving around the area looking for her, and they spotted Ruth's car in a parking area in downtown Opelika. It was parked facing the First Baptist Church. When police arrived to check things out, they found Ruth's keys in the ignition and her purse and glasses on the front seat. Ruth's cash and credit cards were still in her purse, which ruled out a robbery gone wrong. Adding to the mystery of her disappearance and the discovery of her car, Ruth's family realized her car was parked in front of a duplex where she and Pete had lived right after they got married in 1928. Police checked this residence and found the front door wide open, but there was no one inside and no indication Ruth had been there. Ruth Dorsey's family officially filed a missing persons report, and law enforcement issued a be on the lookout for 67-year-old Ruth Dorsey. She was described as a white woman, about 5 feet 4 inches tall, weighing approximately 105 pounds. She had light brown hair and gray eyes and was last seen wearing a long brown skirt or pants. Police spoke with a gas station attendant who had seen Ruth on Saturday afternoon, and they said she seemed fine. And they mentioned to police that Ruth said she was picking up Ken, but police have never publicly revealed the name of the relative Ruth was going to pick up. When they spoke with Ruth's neighbor, who saw her pull into the driveway around 5:30 on Saturday evening, the neighbor mentioned when Ruth waved, she was waving frantically, which left Ruth's family to wonder, was she literally frantically waving to get her neighbor's attention, or was it an enthusiastic wave simply greeting her neighbor? Through their investigation, police learned that wave to her neighbor was the last sighting of Ruth Dorsey before she disappeared. Because Ruth's car had been found in Opelika, the Opelika police took her car to search it for fingerprints or any evidence. The only prints found in Ruth's car were Ruth's and a partial smear print that was never identified, even with the help of the FBI. The search for Ruth Dorsey was a collaborative effort between Opelika and Auburn Police Departments and the Lee County Sheriff's Department, along with volunteers who helped with ground searches. Those volunteers conducted searches throughout Lee County, while law enforcement covered every acre of the Dorsey farm. They looked for Ruth and any clues that could provide answers as to what happened to her. The Opelika Auburn News kept the community updated as her friends and family anxiously awaited word about Ruth. On Tuesday, August 27th, the paper featured news that a Cobra helicopter from nearby Fort Benning, Georgia, had flown a five-mile radius search to look for clues in the mysterious disappearance. Lee County Sheriff Jim Pearson and Chief Sheriff's Department Investigator Ronnie Watkins were on board the Cobra as the crew conducted a treetop-level search of the area around Ruth's farmhouse. That search ended with no new clues. Authorities noted they had considered dragging several lakes in the area, but after flying over the lakes, they found the visibility to the bottom of the lakes to be clear, and nothing out of the ordinary was spotted. Sheriff Pearson stated, after extensive searches on ground and by air, that he believed if there was a body to be found, they would have found it. He said with no sign of foul play, it was hard to know what happened to Ruth, and acknowledged that the longer she was gone, there was the possibility that she had been harmed in some way. Members of Ruth's family told the local news that the sheriff believed Ruth may have run off with a man she met. But her family shut down that claim, saying she was the kind of person who shared everything with her family and her friends at church. And those who really knew Ruth Dorsey said she never mentioned dating or seeing anyone apart from their regular friend group. The family felt justified in standing by that belief because there was never another withdrawal or any activity associated with Ruth's finances after she disappeared on August 17, 1974. Nearly 2 weeks after Ruth's disappearance, the family, along with Ruth's congregation at Hopewell Methodist Church, teamed up to offer a $1,400 reward for any information leading to Ruth's whereabouts. That would be the equivalent of nearly $9,000 today. That reward led to no new leads. Everyone known to have a connection with Ruth Dorsey was questioned, and none of those interviews led to new leads in her disappearance. Law enforcement requested Ruth Dorsey's dental charts to have on hand to compare with bodies found in the area and across the country. By December 1974, with no leads and no answers, it seemed as though Ruth Dorsey had vanished. Investigators confirmed Ruth's details had been added to the National Crime Information Center computer. That was done in case a body was located by other law enforcement agencies in the United States. This meant if the body of a woman matching the height of Ruth was discovered, Lee County authorities were notified to send Ruth's dental records for comparison. Investigators were frustrated that they could not solve this mystery. They agreed to interviews for years, reminding the public at every turn that they knew someone knew something that could lead to a break in Ruth's case. But to Ruth's family, the case just seemed to go cold, which is why they turned to psychics and ESP experts to try to help with the case. Nothing else had worked, and the Dorseys were understandably desperate for answers. A member of the Dorsey family communicated with a man from Kentucky who said he could use extrasensory perception to solve mysteries. He charged the family $20, gave them his reading on the case, which led nowhere. In the summer of 1979, news broke in Opelika that one of the most famous psychics in the country had come to town, and her visions were going to lead authorities to Ruth Dorsey's body. This psychic, named Dorothy Allison, came to Opelika with a declaration of a vision that revealed where Ruth Dorsey's body might be. Law enforcement agreed to meet with her because in recent years, she had helped crack the Boston Strangler case Anne had consulted with police in the Son of Sam shootings in New York and the John Wayne Gacy killings. Fate had led Dorothy Allison to Opelika. She traveled there for gum surgery. As she was sitting in the dentist chair, she told the doctor about some of the cases she helped solve. That dentist, a Dr. Tatum, was a distant relative to Ruth Dorsey, so they talked about the case. Dorothy Allison calmly told the doctor, "She's dead. She's under running water." Tatum called Ruth's nephew, Walter Dorsey, and the family worked with the Lee County Sheriff's Department to arrange divers to search several creeks, while investigators coordinated grid searches on the sides of the creeks by foot. It was an expensive search that yielded nothing. Another heartbreaking dead end for the Dorsey family. The Dorseys continued to deposit their Aunt Ruth's Social Security check each week. They made sure her dogs found homes, including Spoogie, the dog that appeared especially fearful when found in Ruth's bathroom. Walter Dorsey took that dog in and gave it a home until it passed away in early 1977. Ruth's belongings were packed up and stored away. The family rented out the farmhouse until 1982, when Ruth Murfree Dorsey was officially declared dead. According to Ruth's will, her belongings were sold. On October 21, 1982, public notice of a sealed bid farm sale was published in the Opelika Auburn News for the estate of Ruth M. Dorsey, known as the Dorsey Farm, and the property was sold soon after. In a 1977 interview with the Opelika Auburn News, several of Ruth's nieces and nephews spoke out about their desperate search for answers. They revealed two things that bothered them about the discovery of Ruth's car the day the family realized she was missing. When they spotted the car in downtown Opelika and reported it to police, they immediately noticed it was parked perfectly. That the car was parked so well confused them because there was a running family joke about what a horrible driver Ruth Dorsey was. She was known for wide corner turning swings and especially known for her bad parking. She rarely parked straight. The car had been towed by Opelika police, where it remained for investigative purposes until it was returned to the family. Ruth's nephew, Walter, checked the mileage and had the car refilled with gas. Now, police learned through the course of the investigation that 10 miles worth of fuel had been used before that car had been parked in downtown Opelika, and that mileage was unaccounted for. The police worked with Ruth's family. They took into account the drive from her home to the gas station, from the gas station back to her home, and there had been a claim she was picking up a family member, but no one around town saw her on the road in any other location in that one-hour time frame. Neither the police nor the family have ever been able to determine the drive that was made that would have used 10 miles worth of gas. Something happened to Ruth Dorsey between that late Saturday afternoon she was seen by her neighbor on August 17, 1974, and the following morning. Neighbors who lived around Ruth told police they heard dogs barking the night of her disappearance, but it was a rural area with a lot of dogs, and police weren't able to verify it was Ruth's dogs that the neighbors heard. Police were also unable to verify who drove Ruth's car from her farm to the place it was found parked in downtown Opelika. No one could ever prove Ruth drove it there, and they couldn't prove anyone else had. Investigators followed every lead they could think of. In October 1976, it was suggested the disappearance of another Opelika widow could be connected to the Dorsey case. 62-year-old Louise Mitchell vanished from her home, and her car was found 1 week later. When Louise's car was discovered in a remote location, her body was found in the trunk. 16-year-old Donald Ray Brown had done odd jobs for Louise and was later arrested, tried, and convicted for her murder. Investigators pursued this lead, but never found a connection between Donald Brown and Ruth Dorsey. Authorities also looked into the possibility Ruth Dorsey could have been a victim of a serial killer known as the Casanova Killer. John Paul Knowles was suspected of 11 assaults and murders across 8 states following his escape from a Florida prison in July 1974. This included an attack in Alabama. Investigators maintained they did not have a specific lead or a specific reason to believe Knowles was involved in Ruth's disappearance or murder, but they covered their bases in looking into the possibility. Knowles was active in the region at the time Ruth disappeared, but authorities were never able to find a link between Knowles and Ruth Dorsey. In interviews in the years and decades following the disappearance of Ruth Dorsey, her family maintained Ruth would never have left them, which left only one possibility. Someone killed her. And they believe it was someone she knew and trusted. They point to the house being in perfect order when the family and police arrived at the farm to look for her. And it's believed the dog's reaction, especially Spoogey's fear response when found in the bathroom, means those dogs witnessed someone threaten or hurt Ruth to get her out of that farmhouse. And she was never seen again. Southern Mysteries is created and hosted by me, Shannon Ballard. Sadly, there's no end to the Ruth Dorsey story, no answer for her family. Just a headstone above an empty grave in Opelika's Rosemere Cemetery, inscribed with the name Ruth Murphy Dorsey. Ruth Dorsey's disappearance was eerie and left the community feeling unsettled. With those emotions running high, locals tried to make sense of things. And in the case of Ruth, it led to local lore that some folks still believe. According to people who remember those days and weeks following Ruth's disappearance, a lot of folks were convinced that Ruth was taken from her home and buried under one of two banks being constructed in Opelika in the summer of 1974, the Bank of East Alabama and First National. The Dorsey family called those rumors just a bunch of stuff stirred up that made no sense. You can find sources for this episode in the full show notes at southernmysteries.com. And if you're enjoying this independent podcast, I hope you'll take the time to support the show, rate and review Southern Mysteries where you're listening, and make sure you tap on the follow button so you never miss a new episode. Thanks for listening.